Hello, my name is Joey Kelly, and you're listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I believe and preach the old-fashioned gospel, the same thing that Paul and the other apostles preached. Jeremiah 6, verse 16 says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." And that's what we're going to talk about today. If you have your Bible, please turn with me to the book of Exodus. Exodus chapter 18, beginning at verse 5. "And Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, came with his sons and his wife unto Moses into the wilderness, where he encamped at the mount of God. And he said unto Moses, I, thy father-in-law Jethro, am come unto thee, and thy wife, and her two sons with her. And Moses went out to meet his father-in-law, and did obeisance, and kissed him, and asked each other of their welfare, and they came into the tent. And Moses told his father-in-law all that the Lord had done unto Pharaoh, and to the Egyptians, for Israel's sake, and all the travail that had come upon them by the way, and how the Lord delivered them. Heavenly Father, once again I come into your presence. I'm asking that you speak to the people, open the eyes of their understanding, give them ears to hear and eyes to see what you have for us today. Lord, minister to the people. Lord, help me to preach what I believe you've given to me. And Lord, we'll carefully give you all the praise, the glory, and the honor in the wonderful and matchless name of Jesus Christ. Amen." It says in verse 1, "When Jethro, the priest of Midian, Moses' father-in-law, heard of all that God had done for Moses and for Israel his people, and that the Lord had brought Israel out of Egypt, then Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, took Zipporah, Moses' wife, after he had sent her back, and her two sons, of which the name of the one was Gershom, for he said, I have been an alien in a strange land." The word Gershom means stranger. "And the name of the other was Eleazar, for the God of my father said he was mine help." And the word Eleazar means, "My God is a help, and delivered me from the sword of Pharaoh." We see many times in the Old Testament that the names that people are given have meaning. And furthermore, many times these meanings are prophetic in nature, or descriptive in nature, or what have you. Moses thanks God for protecting him from Pharaoh, and names one of his kids after that event, mentioning the protection of God. But Jethro comes from Midian and brings Moses' wife and kids with him. And the verses that I read at the beginning of the program may seem a little strange. Jethro came, and in verse 6 he said to Moses, "I, thy father-in-law Jethro." It seems to me that if Moses spent 40 years in the desert, he might just be able to recognize his father-in-law. But this is the record, this is what transpired, this is exactly what was said. "And he said unto Moses, I, thy father-in-law Jethro, am come unto thee, and thy wife." You'd think Moses would recognize his wife and his kids. And again, this seems very strange. But it goes on and says, "And Moses went out to meet his father-in-law, and did obeisance, and kissed him. And they asked each other how they were doing, asked of their welfare. And they came into the tent." And again, to an American, this seems rather strange. But in these few verses, we get a picture of the fact that Moses was Jewish. He was a Middle Eastern. Jethro was a Midianite. He wasn't exactly Jewish. But again, he was Middle Eastern. And many of the different cultures back then, many of the different nations or what have you, they were interrelated. And all of them pretty much were Middle Eastern. They had Middle Eastern customs. They had Middle Eastern speech. They thought in Middle Eastern patterns. We know, for instance, that the Hebrew language is a language of pictures, whereas Greek is a language of thought. But Jethro comes to Moses and he acts very formal. And he says, I'm your father-in-law, this is your wife, and your two kids, we're come to you. And then Moses does obeisance or bows to him and kisses him and greets him in that manner. Again, this is not the way an American would greet his father-in-law and his wife. This is a Middle Eastern idea. Some of you may know that I was brought up in Houma. That's where I was born and spent the first 18 years of my life. After that, I went to Baton Rouge to go to LSU. I spent maybe 14 years total in Baton Rouge. And in the 90s, I spent about 4 years in Atlanta. And for the last 11 years, I've been in the New Orleans area. In every place I've been, the people have customs. They have a culture. The culture in Baton Rouge is different from the culture here in New Orleans. The culture in Houma is a Cajun culture. A couple of months ago, I was down visiting my mom, and I had to get a couple of tires for my truck. And I remember I was standing in the lobby of the tire place, waiting to tell the man, hey, I need to get a couple of tires for my truck. And the guy behind the counter was on the phone dealing with someone else. There was another guy in front of me, and then I was standing there waiting my turn. And the guy in front of me turns to me and starts to tell me a story. I don't remember what it was about. Maybe it was a fishing trip that he had taken. Maybe it was the fact that his kid needed new shoes, or I really don't remember what it was about. And at first, I was kind of taken aback. I'm not used to strangers just turning to me and talking to me. But after a few seconds, I realized, wait a minute, I'm in Houma. And this is how Cajuns act. This is how my people act. They'll turn to anyone, a stranger, it doesn't matter. And if there's some story to tell or something, then everybody acts like they're old friends. But he told his story, I guess it took a minute or two, and the guy behind the counter was off the phone by then, and then he finished his story and turned to the guy and said, okay, I need tires for my truck, or whatever he said. And I stood there and marveled, because what one person from one culture is familiar with or comfortable with, he will go somewhere else and the people act completely different. But Jethro and Moses, they acted as Middle Eastern people, as Middle Eastern men. Again, they were family. Moses had married this man's daughter, but there was this formality that they felt that they had to go through when they met. Again, this is not our culture. This is a Middle Eastern culture. But how many of you know that Jesus died for the sinner? He died for Jews. He died for Gentiles. He died for Vietnamese. He died for Peruvians. He died for people here in the New Orleans area. He died for the Eskimo. Jesus died for the sins of the whole world. And this gospel is the same in Vietnam or Peru or Alaska. It's the same. The same thing that Paul and the other apostles preached. But it doesn't matter what culture you come from. It doesn't matter who your family is. It doesn't matter what you've done in life. It doesn't matter what your culture and customs are. Your problem is not culture. Your problem is your sin. Some cultures are good. I think the fact that Cajuns are able to strike up an instant friendship that lasts a minute or two and can find camaraderie with strangers, I think that's a good thing. Some of the cultures we have here in Metairie, New Orleans, are good. Some of the culture that perhaps they have in Kansas is good. There are those that say we should be diverse, that we should strive for diversity. I don't believe that diversity is a scriptural idea. The Bible says that we should love our brother, and that we should love our enemy. And in preaching the gospel, God sends us out to the whole world. We should care for those of other cultures. We should care for Russians. We should care for Africans. We should care for everyone. But the Bible does not teach diversity. It teaches compassion and love. It teaches long-suffering. It doesn't say we should be tolerant of other cultures, but it says that we should love our brother. And we are, in fact, our brother's keeper. God showed His love by sending His Son to die for us on the cross, and He tells us to treat others out of love. We're to prefer others over ourselves. And we're to always remember that the cross applies equally to everyone. The message of the cross is for every culture. Some would claim that the Bible and Jesus Christ is a white man's gospel. But that is spurious. That's incorrect. Jesus died for the sins of the whole world. And Jesus is the only remedy for sin. Jesus is the only avenue to reach the Father. There are not other gospels. There are not many ways to heaven. There's only one, and that is through the man Jesus Christ. But it says here in verse 8 that Moses told his father-in-law all that the Lord had done unto Pharaoh and to the Egyptians for Israel's sake, and all the travail that had come upon them by the way, and how the Lord delivered them. And may I say that Jesus still delivers today. He still sets the captive free today. If you're bound by drugs, Jesus is your answer, and He can set you free. If you're bound by lust, if you're bound by you name it, Jesus is the deliverer, and He can set you free. And Jethro rejoiced for all the goodness which the Lord had done to Israel, whom He had delivered out of the hand of the Egyptians. And Jethro said, Blessed be the Lord, who hath delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians and out of the hand of Pharaoh, who hath delivered the people from under the hand of the Egyptians. In verse 11, Now I know that the Lord is greater than all gods. Every place on earth has its own culture. Every place on earth has its own customs. But most places around the world, pagan cultures, whatever, they have their own gods. And God is greater than all other gods. This book, the Exodus, tells the story of how God delivered His children Israel from Egyptian bondage. We've all heard the story, we've all read the story, and I've taught extensively on the story of how they were delivered, how they were brought out of Egypt by the shedding of the blood of the Lamb. Then they went free. Pharaoh and his armies followed them. God opened the Red Sea. The Jews went through, and the Egyptians drowned. Jethro, way over in Midian, a couple of hundred miles away or something, heard the news and came. And in thanks and praise to God, Jethro built an altar. Jethro offered a sacrifice. And he invited Moses' family, his brother Aaron, would have you. He invited all the elders of Israel to come into the tent and to eat bread with Moses and to worship God. I heard an old story, how my Savior came from glory, just like the hymn says. I'm from Louisiana, I'm a Cajun. But I heard this gospel. And it changed my life. It delivered me. And since I've been saved, I've tried to tell others what God did for me and what God can do for them. You see, these events in the Old Testament, we call them types. They foreshadow the things in the New Testament. God is painting a picture for everyone to understand. Doesn't matter what culture you're from, but he paints a picture. Jethro heard what God did. He came. He celebrated God. He thanked God. And he spent time with God's people. It doesn't matter what culture someone is from, if they're from perhaps Cameroon in Africa. It doesn't matter what pagan culture that they had. It doesn't matter what their tribes are. It doesn't matter. Because when the gospel comes, their life changes. They begin to adopt new culture and new customs. Again, not the white man's message. We don't really care that people in Cameroon begin to act like Americans. But we do care that they begin to act like Christians, to live right, to worship the Lord, to read the Word of God, to apply it to their lives, and to tell others of the good thing that they have found. And can I say that most cultures, there's something good to be found in them. But there's a culture that supersedes it, and that's the culture that comes from heaven when a person receives Christ into his heart. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. We pass from darkness to light. We're new creatures in Christ. Hallelujah. Thank God that he changes us. Thank God that Jesus still delivers today. He changes hearts. He changes lives. And shows us the love and the goodness and the mercy of God. But it says in verse 13, "And it came to pass on the morrow that Moses sat to judge the people. And the people stood by Moses from the morning unto the evening. And when Moses' father-in-law saw all that he did to the people, he said, What is this thing that thou doest to the people, or for the people? Why sittest thyself alone, and all the people stand by thee from morning unto even? And Moses said unto his father-in-law, Because the people come unto me to inquire of God. When they have a matter, they come unto me, and I judge between one and the other, and I do make them to know the statutes of God and his laws. Now that's a good thing, to teach the word of God, and in those times they had judges. Nowadays we only go to the judge when we get stopped by the cop or something. But you find in the Old Testament that there was a limited way to approach God. The people couldn't just go to God directly. They had to have a priest, they had to have an elder, or they had to have a judge or a prophet. But Jethro found fault with the methods that Moses was using. Teaching the word of God is certainly good. Judging for the people is certainly good. But the way that Moses was doing it, he said, was not good. In verse 18 it says, Thou wilt surely wear away, both thou and this people that is with thee, for this thing is too heavy for thee. Thou art not able to perform it thyself alone. Perhaps you remember in Exodus chapter 17, the previous chapter, Moses was holding his hands up when they were fighting Amalek, but his hands got heavy, and Aaron and Hur held up his hands, and the battle was won that day. Moses is the man of God. He has the great power of God, but he's not able to do the things of God by himself. That's what Jethro is saying here. But he says here in verse 19, he gives a solution. Hearken now unto my voice, and I will give thee counsel, and God shall be with thee. Be thou for the people to Godward, that thou mayest bring the causes unto God. and thou shalt teach them ordinances and laws, and shalt show them the way wherein they must walk, and the work that they must do. He says, be thou for the people to Godward. Go ahead and do the thing that you're doing. Judge the people and teach the people. But he says in verse 21, moreover, thou shalt provide out of all the people able men, such as fear God, men of truth, hating covetousness, and place such over them to be rulers of thousands, and rulers of hundreds, and rulers of fifties, and rulers of tens, and let them judge the people at all seasons. And it shall be that every great matter they shall bring unto thee, but every small matter they shall judge. So shall it be easier for thyself, and they shall bear the burden with thee. Moses needed help, and that was the advice that Jethro gave. And we see this idea in at least two other places in the Bible. In Numbers chapter 11, Moses is saying in verse 14, I am not able to bear all this people alone, because it is too heavy with me. But in verse 16, and the Lord said unto Moses, gather unto me 70 men of the elders of Israel, whom thou knowest to be elders of the people, and officers over them. Bring them unto the tabernacle of the congregation, that they may stand there with thee. And I will come down, God is speaking, and I will come down and talk with thee there, and I will take of the Spirit which is upon thee, and will put it upon them, and they shall bear the burden of the people with thee, that thou bear it not alone. And in verse 25, and the Lord came down in a cloud, and spake unto him, and took of the Spirit that was upon him, and gave it to the 70 elders. And it came to pass that when the Spirit rested upon them, they prophesied, and did not cease. And of course this is a type, a foreshadowing, of the great outpouring of the Spirit that happened on the day of Pentecost, 50 days after Jesus was crucified. Later on in the book of Acts, in chapter 6, and we mentioned this probably a few weeks ago. In verse 2, then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them, and said, it is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And of course Stephen was one of the men chosen, and we can read about him being martyred. So we can see that the thing that Jethro suggested was from God. It was useful, it was right, it was biblical, it was godly. And one of the things that I mentioned a few weeks ago was this. A pastor's job is to give himself continually to the Word of God and to prayer. But God also set deacons in the church. The deacons should do most of the counseling. They should do most of the hospital ministry. They should do most of the homeless ministry. The deacons are there to assist the pastor and to serve. And the things that are difficult, such as a wedding or a funeral, or perhaps someone that's been counseled but they need extra help or something, the pastor should then step in. It's not the pastor's job to be running here, to be running there. Deacons are useful, and they can do more than just take up an offering. It's the deacon's job to do like Stephen, to preach the word of God, to minister to the people, to wait on the people and serve them. It was good advice in Exodus chapter 18. It was good advice in Numbers chapter 11. And it was good advice in Acts chapter 6. And in verse 27 here, the last verse of chapter 18, and Moses let his father-in-law depart, and he went his way into his own land. You've been listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I hope you've enjoyed the program today and pray that the Lord has convinced you to follow Jesus in the way. If you want to know more about the ministry, you can visit my website at joeykelly.net/ministry. That's joeykelly.net/ministry. And you can read about the missions work that I do down in Haiti. Or if you like, you can write me at 324 Codifer Boulevard, number 9. That's Codifer Boulevard, number 9, Metairie, Louisiana, 7005. And until next time, this is Evangelist Joey Kelly encouraging my friends to take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there.